I mean, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
A show that, analytically, exists between 6 and 10 weekday mornings on Kansas City's only FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Oh, buddy.
Live from the studios that brought you...
Hey, what's going on, man?
Here's Bob Fesco and Dusty Likens.
Hey, what go, man? Thunder, lightning, and downpours. That's what go, man. Welcome to the show on a Wednesday. Good morning. I'm sure it was very, very tough for a lot of you to wake up this morning, as it was, paradise in the bedroom sheets instead of on the dashboard lights.
As Meatloaf once said.
Ooh, really?
I mean, it was wild last night. For me to actually hear it, I usually sleep through all that stuff, but I was up at like 11:30 last night looking through the window, watching the Lightning show. I was talking to John, who works over at KMBZ. He lives downtown. He goes, the Lightning was going from the sky to the ground. It was the most incredible Lightning show.
That's normally how it works.
I've ever seen. And then, I was talking to so many people driving in this morning that were texting me. Is it the weather bad there? Weather bad? I'm like, yeah, this was a crazy night last night. I think we had some hail that kind of went into the yard a little bit. So, hopefully nobody had any roof damage. I'm sure there'll be a lot of roofers out there today getting your roof looked at because there was a lot of hail damage out there today. So a little wet driving in, but it should be a nice day once we get through this kind of mess in the morning. But a lot of down tree limbs and stuff like that around the neighborhoods as well.
I got a tea time at 3:30, so I hope it dries up. It's not going to.
It started right after the walk-off. They waited for the Royals to do the walk-off, and then the storm started. Like, it was legitimately like right after the game.
Bobby walk-off.
Exactly right.
He's in that zone that he goes through like once a year, like twice a year. I wish we were playing for something.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like cool.
Because he's in that heater Bobby Witt thing where like all of a sudden you just put on the Royals, like on a random Friday night or whatever. You're just hanging out in the house, background, whatever. And then it's like Bobby Witt Jr. in his last 50 plate appearances is 31 hits and four of those are home runs, two of those are doubles, five of those are, triples and he's slugging 1,000. You're like, oh, okay, cool, awesome. Oh, no, win number 53 last night.
Yeah, still 20-some games under, right?
But at least, They won 2 out of 3 against the Angels. They won 2 out of 2 versus the A's.
Yeah, 3 in a row,
so at least they're not, at least they're beating bad teams.
At least you got to beat the bad teams, right?
At least you're not in that category for now. That was fun getting out there last night. It was a good night for a baseball game to be there in August.
Beautiful weather. For August night last night, in the low 80s and not really humid. And it was just a beautiful night. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
so
it was fun.
More nights like that, please. But I think it's supposed to be 98 on Saturday. Mac, you going to get married again?
Yeah, exactly right.
Outside.
Yes. Yes.
Mac, are you going to get married again? It's wild. Not get as bad. Wild as Carrington's quote last night.
Yeah.
So
classic Carrington.
So Carrington sitting at the table last night, right? We're all hanging out at the game doing our Odyssey outing. And it's me, it's him, it's this lady, it's Mac, and Mac's brother Asher. And they walk up, and Carrington goes, hey, Mac, congratulations. 5 weeks later, for one.
I haven't seen him. Honestly, I was surprised that he even knew that it happened.
Yeah,
so I was
that's a big win right there.
No,
that he
honestly,
knew.
I was
yeah.
shocked. I was like, wow.
Stunner.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Line number two. Do you love her?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean?
I said no. Carrington, they actually did in reverse. They got married and they're going to find out if they love each other.
What if I said no? What do you mean? Yes.
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
Do you love her?
I got nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been 5 years. I'd hope so.
Aren't you guys not supposed to see each other?
Do you love her?
Yeah. You love Jen, by the way?
I will say this, and I mean this with all of my heart. I love my wife more today than I have in the past. Like, we've got this zone right now, man.
That's awesome.
It really is.
Love
I mean,
her.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of question is that, though? But I mean, like, it's a different kind of love as our marriage. You have these ups and downs throughout marriage. Some days it's good, some days it's bad, some years it's good, some years it's bad. And we're just in a good groove right now, I think, because we just have each other now. The kids have totally ditched us. And so we have no children around. So it's just the two of us going, all right, I guess we got to love each other. So there you go, Mac. You'll love her in 20 years.
Okay. Sounds good.
Do you love her? I mean, like, was he joking?
No.
Was he laughing? Was he being serious? Did he?
No, I don't know whether it was a joke or not. There was no laughter.
Yeah, it was very,
Well, I mean, it's a legit question. I mean, have you ever been asked by anybody if you love your wife?
No.
No, right?
I just thought it was a given.
But I mean, honest to God, it makes you think a little bit, right? Do you love her? Like, where's that question coming from, first of all? Second Carrington. Of all, yeah, yeah, Carrington. Second of all, how would you even come up with that question? Third of all, yeah. I mean, it's a good question because it's really never been asked. I mean, it kind of startled you a little bit, right? Put you back on your feet. Like, do I what?
What?
Yes.
Yeah, I hope I love her.
Yeah.
Spending the next, you know, 50 years with her, hopefully.
Yeah, yes. He had that in the holster, too. There was no pause.
Do you love her?
I wonder if that's a normal question that he asks people who just get married.
Who just get married.
Do you love her? Maybe he just needed to hear that, you know? He hasn't talked to you about, you know, your marriage and stuff like that, and you haven't seen him in a while. And so, hey, he's just trying to get caught up, you know?
Get a gauge.
Yeah.
Yes.
So do you?
Yeah. Yes, very much so.
Somebody says, I'm surprised he didn't ask if you think your love is washed.
That would be me. You guys have been around together for like 20 years. Isn't it time to, you know, move on? Aren't you guys washed by now? What?
What are you talking about?
Somebody says, you got to give Carrington a break. He knows not what love is. You know, he did get denied on the kiss cam.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that last night. Yeah. That was hilarious.
I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
Do you love her? That was so wild. That put me into because I sat back, I looked right at you, and then Asher's just over there. He's like, I don't know how. What? Is this sports radio?
exactly. What's going on?
This is not sports radio.
I'm going to have to do that again. What's up, Chip? Trace?
I think you're in a script.
I am. I'm in Amy's script, the Amy's Angels one. There was the second thing didn't make sense, so I was just trying to fix that part.
It's not even marked off. Like, we're still working.
I know, but I didn't have time because we have to do this, so I was still reading it. See, I mean, I can't wait for you to go through them all, and then I go through them because then I'm already getting ready by then. But this time we had to do the PSAs, so. Finish what?
What I was trying to say.
Okay, because Sean just came in here and said something about marking off. Go ahead. I don't think you are. You're walking out really angry. Jeez, oh, Pete.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
Can I feel, please finish what I'm going to say? What the fuck? Grow up. I'm so done with her antics, telling on me every 5 seconds. I'm done.
So that story there.
Is that from the same station that talked about eating beaver?
I don't think so.
It was both in Detroit.
Yeah, it was. I don't think it was, but the Jizo Pete is funny. But that story, that happened a year ago, okay? And that came out.
Wow.
Yeah, that was released yesterday. Do you know why that was released?
Mm-mm.
So this woman got fired for her job, and they said basically she was hard to work with.
No.
And so she's suing the company because of that.
Okay, here we go.
Jeez, oh, Pete.
And so now this video is out there, and they're like, okay, this is going to be used in evidence now. That was according to TMZ. So
the anchor was fired? The lady, Jeez, oh, Pete lady?
Yeah, that lady who was yelling was fired.
I'm confused at who's in the wrong.
Yeah, I know. Like, obviously, she's being rude or whatever. But I mean, at the same time, if that one girl was being kind of like,
but you can't really hear what she's saying.
Can't really hear.
She's
like,
she's like, hey, I think you're in the wrong script. She's like, yeah, I'm in Amy's script over the Amy's Angels or whatever it was. And then she clearly was upset with her. And then she started like talking as she left the room, which is one of my biggest pet peeves. Like, if you're gonna rip it. Stand there and rip it. Don't walk away because I will follow you and be like, excuse me.
Yeah, what was that?
Like, you have what to say? And then she's like, well, I'm tired of her antics and Jizo Pete and all that sort of stuff. So I was kind of wondering who was in the wrong. But from that story that you just mentioned, maybe this is something that had been brewing for a while.
Yeah.
Because you can hear the guy putting her like fob mic on, like, relax, relax.
It's
like,
okay.
It's okay. Just chill.
Yeah, right.
The other guy's coming and go, the hell's going on?
What the hell's going on in here?
After these two ladies just ripped each other's faces off, three guys walk in, the hell's going on in
What's
here?
Going on?
So who knows, man? That's
Jeez, oh, Pete.
I've never heard that before.
We got to bring that back.
Kling tweeted yesterday, we need more Jizo Pete's out there.
Yes.
First play. First sack Peter Woods gets. Jeez, oh Pete.
Could you hear Mitch getting a Jeez, oh Pete worked into the broadcast? You know what? This preseason game, we're going to challenge Kling. He needs to work in a Jeez, oh Pete on the sidelines.
Totally.
Call him now, Mac, and get him on.
Do not call me at 6 a.m.
And then, Kling, when you get a Jeez, oh Pete into the broadcast, please text us and let us know approximately what time so we can pull it, right? That's what we need to do this week. We need to get Kling to do a Jeez, oh Pete for us on the air. Oh, Jeez, oh Pete, Mitch, they missed those tackles.
Yes.
And people will be like, Kling's old. That's a word he used growing up in the 30s.
Exactly. What the F?
Jeez, oh Pete.
By the way, we have somebody that can clarify everything that Carrington said. It's a joke. Or I'm sorry, it's called a joke. Carrington wasn't being serious.
Okay, cool.
Jeez, nice. Oh Pete.
Okay. I don't think it was. I was there. You were not. I heard the way that he said it.
I think he was being facetious, but who knows?
But even still, he's dry. I mean, yeah, he is dry. He's but it's one dry. Of those things like it just comes out of left field on like, that one.
Oh,
you love her?
Very much so.
Is that rant better than Bill O'Reilly's?
No.
I don't know.
What does that mean for Sting to play us out? I don't know what that means. Why don't you relax? It means the music is going to play out while you go out into the commercial break. We'll do it live. I got to say, I fell for it yesterday. I fell for the social media video, and I think a lot of people should, because I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Here on 96.5 The Fan, you're home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Jaden Caney, and you're listening to Feshko and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome to the show. Drive safe. There's no need to go fast. Roads are wet. So is Matt. Chiefs play Saturday, 6:30, against the Tampa Bay Bucks. I wonder if Baker plays this week. You know, got a little bit of a contract in the air.
I think he's going to play.
His backup looked pretty decent against Scrubs. Which is Scrub is the guy that, you know,
gets no love.
That's right.
Yeah, he's going to play.
Okay.
What? I'm just saying they made that announcement.
It was just funny the way you said it, man. Like, he's going to play.
He's going to play. Yes, he will be on the field.
It was just funny to me.
One of the reasons that I mentioned to you yesterday is that it's the biggest preseason game of the year. You're going to play a starting quarterback. It's the only time you'll play a starting quarterback. You'll probably see Chris Godwin, Noah Mecca Igbuka. You'll see Kate Otten. You'll see Bucky. Well, maybe not Bucky. You'll see they got other good running backs too. So
yeah, where did Rashad White go? Pittsburgh?
I can't remember, yeah.
And is then that
they,
where he went?
And they got Sean Tucker there. I think, I don't know.
How long do you expect to see people in this game?
Two drives.
That's, I mean,
Commanders.
Yeah.
Commanders, probably. That's right. Yeah, I think two drives.
I mean, the old school version of preseason, everybody knew what it was going to be, right? You played the first quarter, then you played, you know, the first half, and then the third preseason game you played into the second half, you know, get that, let's practice coming out of the locker room at halftime nonsense. Okay, fine, we'll do that. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth preseason game, nobody played. It sure seems like now, though, all of that obviously has been thrown out the window, but, like, everybody's just kind of doing their own thing. There's no kind of set plan like there kind of used to be in the NFL. I think everybody's just kind of looking at it on their own. I don't recall a time where we didn't even see guys traveling to preseason games like we did with the Rams. You know, I don't ever remember seeing that. But the flip side, it makes a lot of sense. These guys are going to their opener in Australia here pretty soon, and they're going to be on the, you know, traveling that 19 hours or whatever it is. So you want to limit these guys, and if they're not going to play, it does make sense not to bring them. But it goes to show you how much the preseason really has changed since we've added this 17th game, and then they're going to add the 18th, and then they're only going to have two preseason games, and then it'll be interesting to see what they do from there. So I don't know how teams approach this anymore. I think everybody's just kind of on their own and just does it differently however they feel necessary with this stuff.
Did you guys talk yesterday about Goodell's comments about expanding?
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys guess, like, did you try to figure out, like, where teams would, like, No, probably England for sure is one.
I would imagine England, London is probably Germany. They're going to have to do a division over there. I mean, that's really the only way they're going to be able to do this thing and make it work from a players' association thing and travel. I mean, seriously, like you're asking guys to go play in Europe. And look, London to New York is a little bit longer of a flight than New York to L.A. It's not that much longer, okay? But if you're coming from Kansas City, if you're coming from L.A., if you're coming from Seattle, if you're coming from Florida, you know, all these other places.
This might be a dumb question. If you're L.A., do you fly around?
I think you fly over the United States. You fly over the northern part of Canada go. Yeah.
I didn't know if it'd be quicker to shoot around the opposite.
No, because I look at flight pattern. I'm a flight geek.
Because it's flatter.
Yeah, it is, right. Yeah, you're just flat. Yeah. aviation geek right here. I love tracking planes and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, you got kind of go up over Canada and over. It's, you know. But even however you go, it's a long flight. So you would have to establish some sort of, you know, division over
there.
Don't
like it.
I hate it. Yeah. It's
say
really,
goodbye to the NFL.
Well, that's, I mean.
Say goodbye, my baby.
But what are you going to do? You're going to expand, again, 36 teams to make this potentially work? It just doesn't. There's not enough talent out there to make 36 teams.
No. God, no.
Yeah, right. No, please. No, yeah, no, no. Yeah. My God, no, yeah. no. But that's what you're looking at. You're going to have to expand it to more than obviously one team. You'd have to put a division over there for travel purposes because the players aren't going to go for this, right? I'm not moving halfway across the world and then having to commute back and forth to play all these games. And I saw a story yesterday that somebody was suggesting, and I forget who it was, but it was actually a decent enough idea. If you're going to have these teams over there, then you need to build an American football headquarters where all the visiting teams will stay and can go over there and get acclimated with practice fields, weight room, all that kind of stuff. Mm. If you're going to have teams over there playing in those games. And then they said, then you'd have to build one of those here in the United States for the European teams that would come over to the United States to play so they could have their practice time over here. It just sounds to me like when I look at something like that, it's absolutely ridiculous to try to do something like that for a league that's based in this country. Like, you're not going to see the EPL add teams in the United States. You're just not going to see somebody do something like that. Or you're not going to see, you know, I don't know, the Japanese Baseball League add teams into the United States. It just doesn't make fiscal sense, and it doesn't make, you know, logical sense to have those guys playing in four teams or whatever it could be potentially based in Europe when 32 of them are based in the United States. And again, the lack of talent in sports. I mean, we don't have enough talent to fill all these teams, pro talent.
Somebody just needs to tell, like, Goodell, like your buddy that's flying with confidence, you know, he's got it, you know, square jaw, chiseled body, but like, it's like, hey man, hey, you don't need to go do that right now. Like, just relax. Like, hey, Goodell, your league is fine right now. Like, you don't need to do this. If you go this much bigger, this could be something that could be detrimental to the future of this whole entire league.
Greed kills.
I mean, greed. Look at what's going on with
the
Dodgers.
One of seven deadly sins.
I mean, this thing in L.A. right now with this Mark Walter, this owner, I mean, it gets crazier by the day. He's trying now to sell the TV network to get more money to pay for this stuff that he owes money on. This guy is in such debt, and this may be the reason we don't get a salary cap in Major League Baseball because of this guy and what's going on right now, because there is so much deferred money that still needs to be paid off. And if he goes bankrupt and they get a new owner, you're going to ask a new owner to take on $1.7 billion in contracts in the future. I mean, this is going to get very ugly for Major League Baseball. This Mark Walter guy, man, he's in it. He's trying to sell literally everything. And he tried to sell the TV network, and the cable company's like, no, we're not interested in that. So that tells you how down bad this cat is. He's literally selling everything he owns to try to make up this money that he owes.
Barbara's son.
Yeah, he's the lawyer for Streisand. Yeah,
cousin. Yeah,
yeah.
Barbara's cousin. Yeah, are we gonna call it the IFL then?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's national because it'd be International Football League. Yes. Yeah, it'd have to be the IFL.
We're gonna get international flights at MCI now.
Probably not. No.
Yeah. Would you take that if you got international flights?
Would I take it? What do you mean?
Like, would you take an International Football League if we got international flights?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
No.
I thought that was the one thing in your life that you were waiting to get.
I don't need it.
Is that
gonna
be the
it.
Bob Fesco? Like, finally, he's gonna be like at a gate going to like Spain or something like that, flying out of MCI.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Just the Breakfast
go to
Club.
Chicago. Yeah.
Yes, so don't good. You flight is now boarding, sir. Please get on the plane.
Yeah.
Robert Fesco. Robert, yeah, sorry, I'm still posing. Yeah. Been waiting 40 years for this.
Give me that. Give me that. But the I think it's ridiculous. And that is like greed kills everybody, man. And that, look, again, that's why the Dodger thing is like greed is killing all of this stuff right now. Don't be a stooge. Follow what everybody else is doing. Take a step back. Sometimes it's okay just to sit there and go, hey, we got the NFL. We don't need more money. Who's ever said that?
I am greedy for Chiefs football to get back because this week's game is going to be the closest thing we'll get to real time action with real time players. And don't forget, Friday night, the franchise is back.
The Chiefs have been so damn good for so many years.
We're about to go back. It's Mahomes' house.
It couldn't happen to us.
Most disastrous set of results occurred for the Chiefs.
And the Chargers are going to win and knock the Chiefs out of the playoffs.
Sometimes you just need peace and quiet.
I get to come back to my roots.
Somebody that's made it, that's also giving back to where you come from and what you're about.
Appreciate y'all, boys, man.
I want to play a major part in this community.
This is where I learned how to compete, the toughness, the grit.
Whenever you all go through something hard together, it has a way of bonding everybody in a certain way.
I love you, brother.
Always, dog.
I don't know if you can imagine it, the way it's played out, all the success that we've had.
That's what we do, dog. That's the start, dog. We ain't nowhere near done.
We had 3 Super Bowls going to 5, and we're not done yet.
Last season was last season. We're focusing on now, and your mindset's got to be right for that.
You got to continue to work and get better and better and go throughout practice.
None of this is going to come easy, man.
Great mindset today. Great mindset.
I mean, and prove to the coaches, prove to the doctors and everybody that I'm the same quarterback I was before, if not better. And then we trust in each other to go out there and execute.
I know that I'm hard. Big time. Bricked up. I love that series because I don't know. They still kind of have their thing. Whereas like inside the NFL, it just feels like it's, you know, and I get it. You could say that I'm biased because I am. But like the production and all that and everybody is putting in all that work for that program and that production. And then, you know, you get to see like the local people talk about the local team. And then you get kind of little bits and pieces of the journey because you know what episode one is. From the high horse to the bottom of the floor,
yep.
Right? That's what it was. And you heard Pete Sweeney say, like, didn't think this was going to happen to us. And then you get the great clip in there. The Chargers win and knock the Chiefs out of the playoffs. Is that doesn't dig a little bit.
Ooh, that's a boo.
Yeah, right? And you get that Friday night.
I'm pissed.
Not like pissed.
No, I'm pissed. It's time to go.
So you don't get like, you know, you get Friday night, the franchise will air on the YouTube channel, right? And then Saturday you get a game. And then by then, man, I don't know if you're not all in on the saddle, you better hurry up because you got 3.5 weeks until football gets started. And
3 weeks from tonight.
Right. And the Super Bowl rematch. And then Thursday's the Australia game with San Francisco and the Rams.
Right.
Which San Francisco may not come back from Australia.
No, they may not. They might just stay
like, you know
there.
What? This is actually pretty nice. Nobody's sneezing and blowing their MCL.
Nobody's getting hurt down here. We're going to stay. Maybe that's why they're going for a week to get the hell away from that electrical plant
they
out
leave
there.
Now. But sometimes videos like that get me. And a video yesterday, I obviously was out yesterday, but then I get home and, you know, get on the phone and start looking at stuff. And I see videos from camp. And I have to admit, when it came to Mahomes' knee, I was kind of playing it cool, kind of like, you know, I think he's fine. Like, I know he's not going to be 100%. That's a given. Like, I don't care what, you know, people are saying. I think he's going to play, but I don't really know how effective he's going to be. That was kind of like the spider web in the back of the brain. Like, okay, like, let's be real, Dusty. Like, I get it. Like, the Jason Tatum thing kind of scared me a bit. I'm not going to lie. Like, Tatum came back. We kind of used those comps during the basketball season. Like, hey, look, court sport, Achilles injury, Jason Tatum came back, and then we saw what happened to Jason Tatum. It was like, okay, maybe he wasn't ready to come back. So then I get that doubt. And I think that's human nature sometimes when, you know, you use something as a comparison. Now, I know it's a completely different injury and a completely different sport. But, man, that video they posted of Mahomes yesterday where he ran out, stopped, cut, came back, and threw it, I was like, okay, I'm not worried about the knee right now. Like, that gave me enough security to think, okay, if he's doing this now, because I know he's not played a game, and I was talking to Christian Acero, who does the character concerns with Jay Binkley last night, is with the Royals game. And I was like, man, I think he's going to be fine. And he's like, who? And I was like, Mahomes. He's like, yeah. I was like, that video. And he even said, he goes, when he made that cut, he's like, that was what he said to me was like, that was what I needed to see. And I'm like, that's where I'm at. And so not every time do the social media videos get you. Like, I know we've seen them already with Mahomes throwing it, but I hadn't really seen much of the side to side. And like when I got my ACL surgery, the doctor that I had said the ligament is the one that supports the left to right movement, not the front and back movement.
Okay.
Right. So when you think about it and you go, you know, wiggle your knee left and right, that's what the ACL really holds together. And so when Mahomes did that move, I was like, that, the Leonardo DiCaprio from
I was like,
I was like, that's it. You know, now I still, and I know this is sick and twisted, but I still want to see him get hit. Not like blown up or like, you know, below the waist.
You mean like Jackson Dart got on Saturday?
No, I don't want to see anybody get hit like that. Not even Jackson Dart. I want to see him in action, and I know I'm not going to probably get to see that until week one. I don't really think he's going to play. I could be wrong come Saturday, and he plays, you know, one series, which I'd still be okay with that because I want to see him out there. But that video clip I saw where he ran, stopped, planted, and threw it let me know he's ready, and then also puts the thought in my brain, like, maybe he is just a freak healer.
Yeah, he is, and that's kind of where I am with this. Like, I never doubted Patrick Mahomes because of everything that we've seen his body of work. And
I don't think it was doubt on my part. I think it was just more so like, I wasn't sure like how much he was going to be ready.
Sure,
like
yeah.
I knew he was going to play once, like you told us. And once we saw the reports keep coming out and flooding like months later, I didn't have the doubt that he was going to play. It was like the doubt of like, what's he going
to
have?
Yeah. And to me, it's like, he's the one guy. I just like, I know what he's going to do and I know how he's going to be because we've seen this guy now for a decade. He's conquered everything that's been put in front of him. It's been really amazing, right? I mean, twisted knee,
yep.
Bum, you know, whatever, ankle, all this kind of stuff. He heals differently. And I was reading something the other day about Patrick Mahomes and his rehab, and I think it was a quote that was from, it was either from Chad O'Shea or it was from Eric Bieniemy. I think it was from Eric Bieniemy, and he was talking about Mahomes, and, you know, he goes, I get in there, he's already in there rehabbing, and he stays, you know, the arrive early, stay late type of stuff that you always see. But just the way that Eric Bieniemy was talking about it is like, you know, this guy is dedicated. And with the way that Patrick Mahomes has played for us, and he has played for every one of us here in Kansas City. What he's doing out there is for all of us here in Chiefs Kingdom, not just for himself, not just for his teammates. He's playing for us. And what I see from Patrick Mahomes for the last 10 years that he's been playing for us is he's not going to let us down. No matter what happens, Patrick Mahomes looks at it like, I'm getting back in there and I'm going to play. And then he's faced with an injury that is catastrophic, ends the season. People are wondering what's going to happen with Patrick Mahomes. The next day, he's rehabbing and getting this thing better, and he's on that flight to Dallas to get that surgery minutes after that thing happens. He just attacks things differently, and professional athletes are in a different category, and then the great professional athletes are in a completely different category, and that's where Patrick Mahomes is for me. And what got me, the video got you, this is so stupid, but it got me yesterday, and I go, it's time. The Chiefs yesterday tweeted out, the number 18 spot belongs to number 15, and put that clock up there, the alarm clock, and then the picture of Patrick Mahomes. And I'm like, oh, he's ready. He is so dialed in because he was ranked the 18th best player in the NFL by his peers. And so Patrick Mahomes now, knee injury, check. Oh, I'm 18. Fine. I got 17 other players to be better than this year, and he's going to go out and do it. I just think it's going to be a monster season, guys, or it's going to be a complete failure. But no, I feel like it's just going to be a monster season for him.
For him specifically, there's no question in my mind. He is going to play incredibly well. He's going to be poised. He's going to be refreshed. He's going to be renewed, and the offense looks the same way. Him specifically, I will speak for. He is going to be amazing this season. He's going to be the best quarterback in football, which hasn't really changed in my opinion, but the stats will show that again. What percent do you think he's at week one?
85.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
And I think 85% of Mahomes is still better than 100%
two-thirds
of the NFL Joe Burrow quarterbacks. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Drew.
yeah, I'll go honestly like 95, and I think that 5% is honestly just playing.
Yeah,
I think he's ready.
I didn't want to be hyperbolic, Bob, but I would go 100.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm there. No, I'm there. No, when it comes to Mahomes, it's just different, and it's like, yeah, you can say he does heal differently, which he does. I think that's part of it, but his work ethic is just like that of a legend, that of a GOAT, and that's why he's here.
Yeah, and that's what it is, too. Certain guys are just different, right? And this guy has never failed at anything, right? He's attacked everything with 1,000% effort. And when he got injured, I'm like, oh, that's the best guy to get injured, because you know he's going to go out there and he's going to rehab it. And I remember over the years talking to players, and, you know, Mike DeVito was big on this back in the day, and you know, him and DJ injured their Achilles at the same time. And I remember DeVito and DJ both saying they were glad they had each other to train with during the season, all of this, to kind of push each other through, because it's a lonely place when you get injured, right? There's nobody there to be with you. Your teammates are doing other things, or they're on vacation, and you're rehabbing this thing. And thank God for Bobby Stroop and, you know, Julie and you know, all the folks over there, you know, at Arrowhead that have helped through this entire process. But man, I think rehabbing, from my experience by just talking to these guys, it's much more difficult than going out there and practicing and doing that normal thing. It's a pain in the ass to rehab.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, seeing him do that move, I know it's not a whole lot, or maybe you don't think about it, but it's like one of those things that's maybe minute that could be massive, because that's not only that lets me know that, like, when he said that quote, what was it, a week ago? Like, I sometimes just forget about it. I don't think about the knee injury sometimes. I just go out there and play. Like, that was one of those things, like, if you were still thinking about it or you were cautious about your knee, you would possibly not do that. And
right.
He literally ran outside, cut, stop, drop, threw a pass right to Rashee Rice, catch. Who knows what the first down was, but it still is like that's something you wanted to see.
It reminds me, he reminds me of a child, and that's a good thing, because the naive and the fearlessness and the love of life that Patrick Mahomes has too. I mean, I wish we could all have that love of life that guy has, but he reminds me of a kid. Don't do that. I'm going to do that. And I think in a situation like this, where
don't
he's rehabbing
touch the
that,
butt, Nemo.
Yeah, don't touch anything. Stop. Put your socks up. Don't do this. Don't do that. Right. And Patrick, listening to anybody. And I think in a situation like this, it's okay to push that kind of stuff, because that's how you speed up that recovery and you get back to where you want to be. And that's playing. And nobody's going to hold Patrick Mahomes back. Like, God forbid there would be something where, okay, you're not cleared to play in the first game. And even if they hit his helmet, he would still go out there and try to play in that game. And so I think that storyline now for everybody, it's now let's see what happens once the first ball is snapped, because I don't think there's anybody right now that's going, I don't know about Mahomes. And if you are, then you're just waking up.
We have a celebrity on the text line.
Oh, we do? Who?
Yeah, Dr. Chow.
Oh, yeah.
At no point this season will Patrick Mahomes be 90% to 100%. Not at all.
How do you know?
Dr. Chow. But somebody that
get
is
bent.
Maybe not going to be 100% this season. Tyquan Thornton injury is kind of scary.
For sure.
As we found out yesterday, the hamstring. Hate that for that position, because, as mentioned last night, Danon Hughes was out. And I talked to Danon last night. We were catching up. You know, the obvious question, like, you ready for football? Do you still love it? No, I'm kidding, Carrington. But, like, I said, you know, are you nervous about the Simmons injury? And he's like, what happened to Josh? I'm like, oh, the back thing. He's like, oh, yeah. And he's like, it's a back.
Yeah, I mean, I was told it's just rest. He practiced twice yesterday or 2 days ago. And so they're saying
he played 1, 2, and 3 team reps.
Yeah, he did. And
stupid.
I heard from somebody that, like, camp needs to end. It's been intense. No, but seriously, like, they're glad today is the last day inside the organization. Like, all right, it's time to go. But yeah, but Simmons taking all those reps on Monday, that's why he was out yesterday. It was a complete rest for Josh Simmons. So everybody calm.
Okay. And then, you know, I tell him, like, you know, Thornton. And he's like, yeah. He's like, Thornton's injury? I was like, yeah, hamstring. And Danon's reaction said it all. Former wide receiver. And I was like, yeah, it's a hamstring. And Danon just goes, oh. And I was like, yep. And that's the one injury I don't like with receivers, is anything to do with the leg, because now you have to let that thing rest.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, you know, and you never know. You get right back out there, and then it hits again. So I don't like that. But
soft tissues injuries suck.
Makes that Keenan Allen signing to the Colts a little bit more stinging, even though it was, 6.25 guaranteed with the $2 million incentive bonuses all scattered into the contract. But, you know, I know Mac was big on Keenan Allen. As maybe a possible sign. But hey, Juju Smith-Schuster's available.
No.
Okay.
It's going to happen.
I mean, he just signed with the Giants 2 weeks ago. He's been available forever.
And gone.
Hey, they could have had him a month ago if they wanted him. He literally signed with the Giants and was cut like the next day, I feel like.
Was it that quick? Wow, I thought he'd been on the team for a while.
I don't think so. I feel like they just signed him within the last 2 weeks.
I just know he did a TikTok dance on the streets in New York, and then the next day it was like, Giants are cutting all, like, veteran Juju Smith-Schuster, and the first quote I saw was, by the end of the night, he'll be a Chief.
Yes. He signed on June 1st. He'd been there for the whole...
June 1st. But still, I mean, you know, the
2.5
the
months.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a while.
Yeah, good for him.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
It is Wednesday, so it's the weekly Fesco and Dusty poll question, and this seems like a garage question, but which would you rather have, Mahomes' arm or Bobby Witt Jr.'s arm? I think I'm going with Mahomes' arm.
Yeah.
The guy went through 94 miles per hour in high school as a pitcher. So, yeah, dude.
Gosh.
Like, he's got a hose. In fact, there used to be, before we get Jay Binkley on the show, I think his name was Michael Kopich. He pitched for the White Sox.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
Him and Mahomes squared off via 1v1 in high school.
Is that who he pitched to? I didn't know that. Kopich, right?
Yeah. I think Binkley definitely knows the story, so Binkley, get ready.
Binkley wanted Deshaun Watson, though, so who's he to tell us about Mahomes?
And I will say,
Watson, yes!
I think when they squared off in high school, each guy struck out like 17 batters, and I think Mahomes won, or his team won, like 1-0, and there were like 2 total hits. It's something disgusting like that. It's like up there with the Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma, Mahomes, Texas Tech game.
Is this one where Binkley's going to claim he was at that game?
He might have.
Yeah, he was sitting there scouting it.
But yeah, on the Van965's Twitter page, whose arm would you rather have, Patrick Mahomes or Bobby Witt Jr.? Somebody says neither. Give me Cags' arm, praise be. Coming up next, Jay Binkley joins the show here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
It happens all the time.
Kansas City, it's Omar on the lot. You're listening to Fesco and Dusky on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Binkley, was I factual when it came to the Kopich and the Mahomes thing?
Yeah, it's pretty factual. I mean, they squared off, and Kopich stuck out 12. Mahomes struck out 16, and Mahomes ended up with a no-hitter in the game.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Is that more impressive, or was his and Baker Mayfield's battle of Texas Tech, Oklahoma more impressive?
Oh, I think that football game with him and Baker, I mean, those are just ridiculous numbers that they put up. But, you know, Mahomes, it did lead to him. I don't know how much it played in the fact, but the Tigers did draft him in the Major League Draft. So I don't know. But, man, he was dominating that game.
Would you rather have Mahomes' arm or Bobby Witt Jr.'s arm?
Man, give me Mahomes, man. Give me that golden arm that's won 3 Super Bowls.
Fair enough. So game one of the preseason's in the books. What stuck out to you the most that was the most impressive, and then maybe what was the most concerning thing?
I think what really stuck out to me was just the kind of the individual performances, what kind of juice. You saw R. Mason Thomas there on the outside. You know, I think clearly they have something in Emmett Johnson. Now, I would not be surprised if they switch things up in game two, and because they'll do that sometimes in the preseason with the order on certain guys playing. So, you know, could we see a lot more DeMarcado this game? Because they will switch things around. So I definitely like to see that. I hated to see the penalties. That was the 12 penalties in the game with the 5 illegal procedures and the 5 holdings. Things like that drove me absolutely nuts. I mean, I know it was the backups doing it and things like that, but you just hate to see it trickle on down between those guys. But I think that stuck out the most, but really not a lot stuck out. This is the game that you hopefully see a little bit in this game because of being game two. This has kind of become that more important game, and I think honestly a lot of it has to do with what 28 teams are playing against, are scrimmaging against other teams.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have 28 of the 32 teams scrimmaging against other teams, I think that's why a lot of guys actually sit out the games, because they have these situations where the team, usually they come in during the week, they practice a couple days, and they play that preseason game against that team that they practiced against. But I think when you have 28 of 32, you have 15 teams that'll do multiple of these. And I think this is where it's going. And I actually think when they go to 18 games and bring preseason down to two, I think all teams eventually will be scrimmaging another team. I know they get tremendous value out of that, but the starters a lot of times will play in that and then not play in the preseason game. But I think those controlled scrimmages with two teams, even though they've been doing those things for years, but I think those are kind of replacing preseason.
Jay, you think this could be a better game. What do you expect out of the Chiefs in game two and really the rest of the NFL in game two of the preseason?
Well, I think with the season, you know, kind of being there in that mid-September mark, that this is the last time. We're still in August because, you know, if you completely rest in this game, you completely rest in game three, which we fully expect them to do, and have kind of that two-week waiting period, that's a long time to play football. So usually Andy Reid, especially with the offensive line, you know, go a half. Now, I'm not expecting to see Mahomes, to be honest with you, at all in this game. But, you know, kind of the concentration on the running game a bit like we had last week. And just see some starters come in and, you know, end of training camp. It ends this Thursday, kind of end of that, put that away and do this preseason game. But this is the game to do it because then you got plenty of time to recover if you had a little nagging injury that happened during the game. And I'm not expecting these guys to go out and play a full game. But game three, those are the guys that probably not going to make the team or play in the UFL next year and whatever. So that's complete rest for the team. But game two seems to be the one because game one, you kind of trickle them in. They play a few plays. But game two, they play a little bit more. So expecting that. And also, you know, I think the Chiefs, you know, looked at the fact the Rams weren't going to play any of their starters. Mm-hmm. So how much value are you getting your backups? Or your starters playing against their backups. So I think that's kind of the way it is. But I think both teams will play their starters a lot more this game.
When you look at Cyrus Allen, is it one of those things where you tell people to pause on the hype, or is this the real deal?
Well, I think you pause a little bit on it, but I will say this about the guy. When it's all said and done, and you look at this draft class and you think, all right, you think diamonds in the rough. Well, Khalil Benson would clearly be on that case because he was undrafted. So he's, mm-hmm. all right, that's a good job at the scouting department. But again, he wasn't brought right in either. Right. So it's not like as soon as the draft ended, he wasn't one of those guys the Chiefs were getting on the phone with and calling to sign as an undrafted free agent. They didn't. They brought him in as a camp body to kind of fill out things for the rookie mini camp. So, all right, so then Cyrus Allen is the guy for me, because it's kind of a late bloomer, a guy that didn't get invited to the combine. So that means the scouts and everybody else thought, all right, there was 319 guys that went to the combine. Cyrus Allen was not one of them. So he goes and plays in the American Bowl, which is kind of one of those all-star games, kind of lower-level all-star game with some of the players. They're kind of, you know, late-round pick types or not even drafted at all. He was in that game. He showed out. He earned just a few weeks later. Because of that game and how well he did, he earned a trip to the Senior Bowl to play even better competition than that. And that's where teams get to sit down and talk to him a little bit more, see him going, you know, against top cornerbacks. And that, I think, him playing in the Senior Bowl got him on the Kansas City Chiefs, gave him time to evaluate. But I just like the fact that he's kind of self-made, you know, a guy that didn't get to the combine, all right, that's a chip on the shoulder. Then you go to the American Bowl and have to prove yourself, and he ends up with the Chiefs. But you know, that's their scouting department liking this guy and going down to the Senior Bowl and saying, all right, this guy's really standing out and really showing something. So when you look at all these guys, like R. Mason Thomas, Peter Woods, all these guys had a ton of hype, you know, in college, and I'm sure they watched all their games. I'm sure there was somebody assigned to go watch Clemson games all the time and Peter Woods. And, of course, they have that connection with the Oklahoma coaching staff, and I'm sure their scouts were all the time down in the press box because that's what these teams do, to go watch R. Mason Thomas. But Cyrus Allen, one of those guys, they might have even seen something they liked at that game at Arrowhead Stadium. But regardless, they liked him at the Senior Bowl and what he did enough to draft him. So that was really the Chiefs scouting department. I know that people look at the wide receivers all the time. Do you trust the Chiefs in drafting wide receivers? Well, there's a guy they took a chance on, you know, that wasn't at the combine. And it's turned out to be pretty damn good.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch him in the regular season.
Yeah, Bink. Real quickly, are you concerned with the Simmons back injury?
Not really. Okay. I mean, it's last year training camp, you know, he didn't miss a single practice, you know, and he came off that injury at Oregon or at Ohio State, and people were concerned about it. Could he, and we were too, is he going to start at the beginning of the year? Is this going to be something 4 or 5 weeks, then he starts, then boom, get up to training camp, he's already your starter. But he's been there every day. He's been practicing, hasn't missed it. So I'm not really concerned about it. Back injuries do concern me, but oftentimes a lot of these injuries are kind of overhyped because, hey, you know, we'll sit here and see what he can do with the back injury. Can he rest it, you know, for a little while and get out there and play? But I'm not concerned about it at this point at all.
All right, Bink. Well, we'll talk to you again next Wednesday and get excited after what happens in preseason game number two.
All right, guys. We will talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks, Jay.
That is Jay Binkley right there. Is our Everything Football Insider is his title for this show. Coming up on the other side, new stadium, new franchise, and new renderings. I think they look great. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Kyrie Stonga, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.